there is a revelation.
I'm saying a possession of a spiritual reality,
something that is real in the environment of the Holy Ghost. You can possess it.
Revival Hub International is a fellowship of believers with a desire to establish the kingdom of our Lord through the intense working of the Holy Spirit.
Let men that speak, speak as the oracles of the living God. Men that have touched the cross.
This message by God's servant Apostle Dudich will bring you quickening and transformation by the Holy Spirit.
He stating things as it is in heaven, the way it is. The opinion of heaven was never clearly known until Jesus appeared. So when Jesus speaks, he is not just giving you an information that is open to debate. He is not giving you an information that is open to choosing. You know, when you come and say, yes, that is true, but for me, you know, this is my truth. No. The day Jesus appeared, there is nothing like your personal truth. For truth has become a person. Truth has become a person. And therefore, if our part in life and destiny and every man that is even existing upon the face of the earth will be correct, it has to take its bearing around the person of Jesus Christ. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
So if you study through the scriptures, I'm coming here. There are a few prerogatives that was accorded to Jesus. Touch that, my brother. Prerogatives. Prerogatives means, okay, maybe. Where is English people? Huh? Where is that teacher? Where is that teacher brother? Get him the mic. Get him the mic. Where is the teacher brother? Teacher brother, raise your hand. Where is the brother now? So, prerogatives.
Prerogates like someone's delegate.
Huh? Wait.
A person's delegate.
No. So, it means that we are placing a somewhat of an exclusivity to something. That as far as this thing is concerned, if we don't consult you, we have not consulted that thing. So when I want to tell you about the prerogatives of God in Christ, we are speaking of things that there is no definition around it, and there is no means of touching it and testifying that it is true, except in the context of the Christ. So you see something like, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And several scriptures like that. So one of the prerogatives of God in Christ is that Christ is light, both light and light giver. So no man has ever stumbled on light. No man has ever stumbled on light except he encountered Christ. In fact, all creation is concluded as blind until they encountered Christ. So the prerogative of Christ in that context is the ability to both hold light and to give men sight. So nobody ever saw until Jesus gave them sight. He holds it in himself. Number two is the prerogative of life. For the Son had life in himself. For the Father has given the Son life to have in himself, and to whomsoever the Son chooseth to give that life unto. That means that the Son possesses in himself prerogative to life. For that life is in him. That's all the story of John, in the epistles of John. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Number three, the prerogative of lordship. There is no other lord in heaven, on earth, under the earth, or in any other place. In fact, lordship, government, cannot be defined except from the office of the Christ. It is within the boundaries of the office of the Christ that pure divine lordship, in fact, administration can be captured. If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. That means that God has defined some things specifically in Christ in such a way that you don't know what they mean except you look unto Christ. And you know something about Jesus? I sent the sister some video of a man. Initially, I didn't know he's a pastor, but I later found out he's a pastor. He gave a story. He said that there are three kinds of knowledge. What was the first one? He said, mathematical knowledge, then scientific knowledge, then personal knowledge. He said that the problem of people is to take situations of mathematical and scientific knowledge and replace it with personal knowledge. Okay? So he said, for example, let's explain something like kissing. That can you mathematically analyze and explain? I will send it to you, brothers, after this service. Can you mathematically explain kissing? He said, no. But can you scientifically? Okay, he now said, can you? Of course, you can personally explain it. Maybe the person loved this or whatever it is. But he now said, can you scientifically explain kissing? He actually said yes. He said, kissing can be defined as the exchange of microbes and carbon dioxide. And it's true. Scientifically, the exchange of microbes, the highest amount and most dangerous microbes are inside this your mouth. I'm telling you. Are you seeing it? The exchange of microbes and carbon dioxide. Now, but for the person that loved his wife, you cannot accept that definition. That means the context of that is personal. Say after me, personal. So we have taken situations that can only be defined personally and defined it scientifically. So it means he is trying to say that you cannot define God scientifically. You can only experience him. It is the one that had the experience that is telling you that you don't know what you are saying. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So this is my point. The things of God are summarized in Christ so that every man that wants to touch his things have to touch Christ. It is only in the experience of Christ that we fellowship with those divine. We enter into them. When the scripture said that the Lord has given you all things freely to enjoy, I know many people has brought it down to cars and houses and wife. If that is the only thing, do you need to be in Christ too? Do you need to be in Christ? You don't need to be in Christ. We first of all speak about spiritual things. Physical things can be free, but spiritual things are not free per se. But in Christ, they have been made free for your experience. Blessed are the poor in the spirit. Jesus is telling you as it is from heaven. You either accept it or not. Say after me, blessed are the poor in spirit.
Blessed are the poor in spirit.
The scripture did not say blessed are the poor in cash. Because if you are poor in cash, and you are not poor in East, you are poor everywhere. Are you with me? Are you with me? Say, blessed are the poor in spirit. What does it mean to be poor in the spirit? It is somebody that realizes the measure of his need of God. His realization of his need of God. There is a word I want to use, but in New Covenant context, people don't want like to use it. But in our innate nature, naturality, as men naturally, there is so much weakness and depravity. There is so much inconsistency that a man has to cry out for his need of God. Are you getting the point? The best of us Every time man is in search of a school of thought that can capture a possibility of getting the best out of man, maybe the ultimate man to appear. And many, many school of thoughts, whether philosophical or scientific, have risen. One scientific school of thought is evolution, am I correct? That man came from microorganisms. That over the years, they progress into advanced. You move from microorganism to something from there. Finally, you end up as God. That's evolution. You see? Since they started that evolution, I read somewhere recently that some people became chimpanzees and apes. Some people, they mumu. How can you look at somebody as dog? Now you people, how can you look at yourself and call yourself ape? That you are related to ape. I don't understand. If you remove God, even scientists are foolish. So this is it. They said that they put apes since 1980 something, and they have been talking to apes. The problem is that they have not spoken back since 1980 something till now. They have not been able to, and we are hoping on evolution. Meanwhile, if you give birth to a child, and in 5 years, I'm just using that, because some people speak between 1 and 2 years. Am I correct? If after 2 years your child has not spoken, something is wrong. Am I correct? I want to ask, this evolution matter, why has it not advanced to ape speaking at least? Who taught a child? That means there is a designer. How can you be a medical doctor and not believe in God? The complex things that you stumble upon the way, how do you explain some of them? The human body, is it not a machine? The most complex machine, and you think something that took you years to study, and you only studied a part and became a consultant. Somebody built the whole. Some people are just consultant on eye only. Eye. No, be so? Eye. So if something happened to your nose, you are in problem. But the one that created eye, nose, mouth, everything, can come and say, in the name of Jesus, out! Be healed. Eye, mouth, nose, heart, all of them. In heaven, there is a location where actually, there are body parts. That's what I found out. And I started believing creative miracles. If you are here, you are sick, you are healed in the name of Jesus. If you are online, you are sick, you are healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I have seen it many times. I have seen legs grow out, hands grow out. I have seen missing tooth come back in. What have I not seen? I have seen the dead get back to life. I have seen goiter growth disappear. I have seen all kinds of things. Fibroid fall out. I have seen lumps. The normal one these days is lumps, lumps, lumps. When we went to Zambia, from Zambia to Zimbabwe, lumps. In fact, I came to one meeting, up to 4 to 5 people, lumps. In Zimbabwe, am I correct? Lumps, literally, people will be saying that they have lumps. Where did he go? It dematerialized. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And you tell me not to believe that there is a designer, there is a superior intelligence. If you don't believe there is a superior intelligence, how did somebody like you appear? Some of you are too smart and intelligent for you to believe that you are a spark from the Big Bang. as intelligent as you are, you just accepted you are a big bang. I'm not a big bang. I'm a son of God. I'm not a big bang. I'm a seed of eternity. Not a big bang theory. I'm not a product of the evolutionist theories of Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin didn't create me. God created me. Are you getting what I'm saying? Energy and life divine flows through me. Huh? I'm not an earth being. I originated from heaven, not from apes. Where did you originate from? Some people accepted it. They preach that they originated from apes. That's the first scientific school of thought. Then for you guys, philosophers, their school of thought is humanism. They believe that there is a way you culture a man to a better part of himself. And even today, I think many people don't believe evolution too much now. So they moved to humanism. You know what is humanism? Humanism is simple. Huh? That man can become a better part of himself. That there is the gold in you. All we need to do is to culture you and educate you into the ultimate being. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I want to ask you, which society is the most civilized in the world? Maybe we can now say US. Am I correct? Sometimes I watch the videos from US. They are more animalistic than some of the things we are doing here. They are still animalistic in their tendency. Huh? US? Huh? Some of them in the US behave like animal kingdom. Ask me how. People will be pregnant and sleeping with other people pregnant, and they are just doing it. They are having all kinds of homosexual, all kinds of. It's animal kingdom. What do you call that? It's animal kingdom. I know you not believe it's animalistic tendency. What people do there is whatever I feel like I do. That's animalistic tendencies. Animals do what they feel like. Like goats. Now you know goats. Goat sees the mother and climbs the mother. You know why? He's an animal. He's a goat. With all their civilization, they have not civilized above their animalistic tendencies. In fact, the more they are having money and going to school, the more they are becoming animalistic in their thoughts. Some of them will be reasoning like small children. I like their civilization per structure. I don't like the way they think. I'm telling you, some of the things I read, it's better you stay here. One of our sisters, Sister Evelyn, that came here, the other day said that they stole her card, stole her everything. I said, how? Do they steal in the US? He said, She parked her car. Somebody went and used this thing, broke the window, put hand, took her wallet, took everything. I said, in the US, I actually thought that if you come in the US, I said, where are the cameras? All these things we watch in the movie, don't be deceived by movies. I said, where is the CCTV? Where is everything? Where is all those things? You see, those days I used to watch Jack Bauer. Anywhere you go, they find you. Nah, lie. Nah, lie. They are feeding you what they want you to think. Only God sees everything. Sometimes somebody will be somewhere, they will do me on the computer, zoom, and enter your kitchen and say, come and enter now. They don't know anything. I asked her, why can't they find those people? They said many of them, they don't find them anymore in the US. They are telling me, find Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen to me. Some people say, if you go to US, if you go to UK, if you go to China, in our day, people will come back to Africa. It's just remaining one big water to break in the spirit. What people think is impossible. How did I even enter here? What people think is impossible is water breaking from the spirit. Suddenly everybody will be baptized with that water. You wake up in Africa, in the states of Africa, and people begin to think patriotic. They die to greed and selfishness. If he dies, it's over. Because everything is here. You literally don't need to leave Africa. Everything is here. There is nothing to import. Everything is here. First thing that is here is human manpower. Brains. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm saying you cannot look at yourself like that and say you came from ape. I descended from God. The point I'm trying to make is that with all the civilization from that point, they have not advanced beyond the animalistic tendency. It means that the best in their human context is still depraved. The man that is poor in the spirit realizes sufficiently how much he is nothing in himself except for divine intervention. And all divine interventions in our life, majorly, many times, is to the degree of the poverty of our spirit. That is what David operated. Are you getting the point? David is a king. He will come and say, poor man like me. Is David really poor? No, but he is poor in the spirit because God gave him a commandment. He said, remember from where I picked you from. You are now big, but somewhere in his heart, he is still small. He doesn't see it. Are you following me? If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Next verse. Blessed are they who do mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. Next verse. Blessed are the meek, for they shall what? Let's read verse 6 together. 1, 2, ready, go. Let's read it again. 1, 2, go. Let's read it 2 more times. 1, 2, go. The scripture said blessed. That means a man without hunger doesn't have a blessing. You see, I'm just showing you. There is absence of divine blessing in the life of a man that doesn't have hunger. You don't know what has happened to you if your hunger has depleted. Justice. The man without hunger is going through the motions. He is not getting anywhere closer to God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Hunger is that facility that drives you into God. Hunger. The greatest men that has lived in the scripture are men that God blessed with hunger. Say after me, blessed with hunger. That's what happened to Moses. What people see in the life of Moses is miracles, signs, wonder. But the scripture told us that God showed his act to the people of Israel. Am I correct? Signs and wonders, miracle. But his ways, he revealed to who? Moses. His hunger. Say after me, hunger.
Hunger.
Hunger. A hungry man can buy anything in God. A man that is hungry, you can buy anything in God. It's in your scripture. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah, it said, "Ho, come and buy." I think Isaiah 55, am I correct? Show me. "Ho, everyone that thirsted, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and what? Eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without what? Money." If a man, are you getting what I'm saying? The scripture is trying to say that there is a currency that is not money you can buy with. And without price. Next verse. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread?" So he has already shifted the matter to a realm that is beyond the literal things that we see in life. And your labor for that which satisfied not. "Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in what?" Fat. Show me. We are coming back here. Show me that Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." What will happen to them? I didn't hear you. What will happen to them? What will happen to them? "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be what?" They shall be what? That means if there is no hunger, no feeling. Are you getting what I'm saying? God assumes that he is forcing himself on you when there is no hunger. Hunger creates the atmosphere that needs to be filled. Are you getting what I'm saying? Jesus was the one that spoke in the book of John chapter 7. He said, on that great day, the final day of the feast, he lifted up a cry and said, "Whosoever thirsted." God doesn't want to assume that you are thirsty. You have to cry. He doesn't want to assume that there is hunger in your heart. You have to what? Cry. He said, cry. That's how I got here. In the woods, in mountains, in vet mountains. I will stay alone in the night. I will stay in bushes. I will be crying. Give me hunger. Baptize me hunger. Give me hunger. Because I know that that is the currency that can buy me into depth in God. There is no depth that is close to the man that is full of hunger. It looks as if channels, dimensions, depths of God opens to you when you bring the currency of hunger. When you say, "Lord, I want more. I want to enter into depths." He will ask, "Where is your hunger? Give us hunger, enter into depths. Give us hunger, enter into depths." That's your passport. That's your currency. That's how to buy. Say after me, "Lord, baptize me with fresh hunger." Many people stay in church. After some time, they move into activities and the routine. The hunger is no more there. They're just moving through the motions. Wake up in the night, pray with Bethlehem. I wake up in the morning. You are just going there. Your hunger is not there. There was that thing that drove you down to Newina. He's no more there. Sometimes you cry, "Lord, if you won't use me, I will die." He's no more there. You are looking for new hair now. You are wondering why you don't have money, you don't have job, you don't have. Meanwhile, what brought you was, "Oh Lord, put your hands on my life. I want to know you. Oh God of the scriptures, are you still the God of my day? I don't want to read you as letters. I want to see you walk into my room. I will not stop." That was your cry. That was your cry. But today, many people has abandoned their first love. They didn't backslide. But the echoes of hunger that reverberates in the courts of heaven, it is no more there. People that appeared in prayer, and all they say in prayer is, "Show me your face. Show me your face. Show me your face. Show me. I want to know you. Some of them prayed it and then saw little anointing and stop praying it. Then now start saying, Lord, I want to explode the ministry. And God is telling me to tell you. Even pastors and men of God is telling me to tell you. I was there at the back and I heard it clear. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me when the sister was leading prayer. He said that there is a call of men to return back to their first love. That there are things that the Holy Ghost wants to bring them into. But there is no sufficient hunger. Bless me with hunger. The realms that you cry for are things that respond to sufficient hunger. There is nothing that can open it as passports. The code into that realm is hunger. You need to load yourself. Oh my God. Bless me with hunger. I want to be a blessed man. That's what the scripture said. It said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst. Day and night they cry, show me your glory. They will not rest. The pantings of their heart, the desires of their heart. The scripture said in the book of, I think Ecclesiastes, he said that men, having separated themselves, intermediate through desire, a man having separated himself, intermediate with all wisdom, he separated himself to higher cause, to higher desires. He brought himself to the point where his heart cries out, I'm not coming out from this room except my face shine. Many of us wanted to see Jesus before, but we are not comfortable with just seeing angels. Show me, drive me into depths and dimension. I want to walk this earth, even though I'm here like a hermit, a being of eternity, clothed with clouds of glory. Listen, I finished the meeting. I like that sound. Don't remove it. I finished the meeting and somebody said, Apostle, that God is this thing. I went back. I was crying. Lord, forget about the meeting. Show me your glory. Show me! I don't want to die like this. Talks and no hunger. Talks. Gifts and no hunger. Even when men preach, when they talk, you can't see the word. You can't see the importance. You can't hear the cry. And heaven is crying. We are the hearts that we can pour the divine things of the last days. We are the shoulders that can carry it. We are the men that yearn and cry and sigh in the secret place and say, Lord, bless me with hunger. Listen to me. There were sisters here. They almost didn't marry simply because of the hunger that hits them at the junction of their life. They considered living a celibate life. They considered consecrating their days and life to Jehovah. Now the wind of life has carried you. You are still with us. You are still in the motions. But the buttons of yesteryears, they have evaporated. Your heart is light. Your secret place is out of light and fire. You are just making the motions. Yes, you will get to heaven, but you will get there empty-handed. You will appear, and Adonai will cry. He will say, look at the chapters. Look at the things, the scrolls written for you. You did not fulfill half. He said, Lord, what I told you to use me. He said, no hunger. I cannot force it on you. Listen to me. Sometimes I read the scriptures just this. I wonder, is it true that indeed they're not walk with God? Or is the scripture a lie? Is it true? The Bible said Enoch walked with God and he was not. Is it true? The Bible must have lied. If it is true, why not we see it in our days? How close will a man get to God? And God told me, no hunger. No hunger. One cry on your lips, leave all those prayers you are praying. They are not important. The prayer is, Lord, bless me with hunger. Earth shaking hunger. Hunger that keeps me awake. That's what keeps men awake. Listen, Discipline cannot bring men into depths of God. It's only hunger that can drive you. It's a force, and it is not a scalar quantity. It is a vector quantity. It has direction and force. It drives you to the end that God has placed in your heart. That is an indictment of Jehovah from heaven. The day he possessed your heart by hunger and you began to journey on that path, the force and the energy of that impartation will keep leading you on the journey until the sight that you saw in the spirit will become a possession in your heart, and you will never stop. Every time and any time something stands on your way, you remember that you saw a man in the woods. That was what David said. He said, I saw him in the woods like Ephrathah. I will not give sleep to my eyes, nor slumber to my eyelids, till I see a resting place for the God of Jacob. Where is your hunger? Where is your hunger? Everywhere you are, cry for 1 minute. Bless me with hunger or I die. Why am I alive? If you will not take me, talk depths in you. Drive me with a force eternal. Plant something in my heart that is sweeter than wine. Put something in me that have the capacity to draw me to you. I don't want to dwell on the earth. Drive me to the heavens. Drive me higher. Drive me higher. Drive me higher. I want to come to the place where I interact with things that is no mundanity. Higher things of life. Bring me, Holy Ghost. There is a reason why I'm here. Ministry has distracted us. We have looked on things that can fade away. But there is a cry from heaven. And the cry is, where is your hunger? Where is your first love? The things that made you start off on the journey, you have begun to accumulate things and your eyes have left it. Place hunger. Oh, 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 ah, 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 hey, 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 ah, ah, ah. Fresh proteins and hunger. Overload my heart. In Jesus' name, listen. It took me a while, my brother, but I found out. I found out some of Saul's weaknesses and challenges. Saul is an average man of God and pastor and a believer that you see in church that seeks God. And many people that you see seek God. Huh? They put time limits to the appearance of Yahweh himself. The great one that no one has the capacity to summon by himself. He decides when to come. The King Spirit. He sets the boundaries and sets the season and time. When the apostles asked Jesus, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, you have went beyond your authority level. That matters like this are held up within the power and authority of the Father. He decides the days and timings. Once you see a man too bothered about time, when will it happen? When will this happen? When his burden and hunger has depleted. A man with sufficient hunger is consumed. You can pray at that moment, but it's a prayer powered by anxiety. It is not hunger that powered it. Several people are praying hard, but they are powered by anxiety. And you can only last like Saul. They told him 7 days and he lasted 7 days. Then he appeared before God and said, I have made the quota. He said, but you don't have hunger. That is the extra quantity that makes a man go the extra mile. What you cry for is the product of the extra mile, extra oil, extraordinary, extra dimension, extra oppression, extra depth, extra. God will test all of us. Are you hearing me? Are you with me? Listen. I feel, that's the way I feel like a weight of glory descended on my heart. And as I washed it, it melted and became utterance on my lips. The words I speak will sit on your heart as the deposits of glory. It will cease as waves of eternity, and it will carry the power and density to drive you in. Woo! I saw it, it melted. I saw it. Take everything from me. Don't take hope. Don't take hope. A man is empty without the cries of his heart. A man is empty without the pants of glory. A man is God. When the days of his yearning has been taken away. That was where Job descended. He said, in the days that the rock poured me out oil, there were days like that. May that not be your testimony. There were days that you can tarry, and all the cries on your lips is, Lord, I just want to know you. Now you are bothered whether your ministry doors opened or not. The days are cold. Ask God, revive your works in the midst of the years. Bring my hunger back. Let the depths of burden cascade upon my heart. Drive me in to the secret place. Chain me to the altar. Don't allow me to come out until I become one with the cries of the heavens. Something so strong, something so deep and heavy that my generation can be affected by the activities of divinity in my heart. Drive me into the secret place. Drive me. It looks as if I can't drive myself. Drive me. I need to be pushed. I can't push me. Oh Jesus. Listen, every one of us here will be tested. And if there is a call on your life, you will even be tested more. We will be tested, and God himself will be the one that will set the exams. Only men with hunger can survive that test. All your knowledge of the scripture cannot save you on that day. Are you getting the point? Even your attempt to bamboozle men with your spirituality cannot save you. Only men of hunger can outlast the journey. Everyone will be tested. And if you have not bought bread on the way, if you have not bought hunger, then you will give up when it matters the most. Everyone will be tested. Listen to me. What many of you don't know is that God does not invest intimacy carelessly. Are you getting the point? Intimacy is precious to God because that is unclothedness. For God to invest intimacy, show me your glory, show me yourself. God will find out how much you want it, how far you willing to go. And along the journey, you will find many times when it looks as if God turned his face the other way. He wanted to know whether you want it enough. So many people, when they pursue and God turns his face, they think that God has forsaken them. They didn't know that they are in the test period of their walk into intimacy. That God wants to bring them into what nobody has walked in their family. At that junction, they turn back. You didn't have hunger. A man with hunger is a blessed man. And that's why you need to cry, bless me with what? Hunger. Listen. The basis of Saul's test. Jerry. The basis of his test is on the question of how much he wants God. The man desired the manifestation more than the one that brings the manifestation. And every one of us will be tested again and again and again. And sometimes God will withdraw manifestation, withdraw results, and check whether your hunger is still intact. In the day that sad things happened in your life, if you went back and cried, even more than you used to cry to God, and your voice is heard in the heavens, it will mean that your driving force is beyond manifestation. That there is a hunger somewhere. Something driving me. Something. Listen. The scripture said that Jesus was driven. Are you with me? Jesus was driven into the wilderness. He did not walk in there. They drove him. What has the capacity to drive the Son of God into the wilderness? I asked myself that question. How did the Holy Ghost succeed in that agenda? Was he driven by force? I searched, I found out that there is no force that can drive him. Because even when he died, he said, I chose to die. That no man can take this my life. I can only lay it down. What drove the Son of Man to the wilderness? What drove him? And I studied his life. The utterance on his lips is a revelation. A revelation of divine activities that go on within his thoughts. No wonder. No wonder Paul spoke and gave us an insight. So that if there is a consideration with men that have the desire to walk the same path, maybe they will consider it as an instruction to live their own life. He said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. It means that the Christ possessed thought patterns. That is a way he reasons out things, such that even when there is an easy way out, he chooses the hard way. Not because there is no easy way, but it looks as if that the direction of hunger is the hard way. We have come to a generation where when burdens drive us to the hard way, we abandon it and choose the easy way. Meanwhile, we come back and wait for what only burdens can answer to. We cry out for revivals, but we run away from the path of burdens and labor. It will never come. It will never. until men rise and cry, Baruch Haba, Hashem Adonai, him that possesses the heart of men and brings his government and demands from them the quota of obedience, the direction, the interpretation of obedience that will cause his hand to come. Jesus set a pattern. He was driven. I asked myself, what drove Jesus? What can drive Jesus? Justice. What power? What anointing? What force can drive the Son of God into the wilderness? I searched the scriptures from his utterance. I understood what can drive Jesus. You remember? I think John chapter 4. He was tired and weak. He needed to rest. Are you with me? That truly men forsook many things to find God. The wonder now is how you forsook family, forsook many things, appeared in the place of seeking and started seeking other things. An enemy has done this. Restore my hunger. Before, you literally would have died for God. Literally. Lock yourself for days and one cry is consistent to find God. Lesser things of ministry has brought your attention. They are not bad, but they are lesser things. It cannot hand you over the heart of God. All you wanted before was to know God. All you wanted was to be driven deep into him before. But now you want to shine. You want to be a superstar man of God. In your dreams, the only dream you are seeing is where you are preaching to millions. You are not seeing where God is handing you out dealings that can drive you into the knowledge of him. You are no more seeing. The only prophecies that come around you that you bother to consider are the ones that talk about how your ministry will expand. You have been taken out of, your hunger has been taken away and substituted for something less. Good, but less. So after me, hunger. Listen. Jesus said, remember in that book of John chapter 4, that before he met the Samaritan woman, are you with me? That the Bible documented that they traveled on a long journey. And at a certain point, he was hungry and tired and even thirsty. And the Bible recorded that whilst he was at the well waiting for the possibility of drawing water from there, that the disciples went into the city to look for food. Am I correct? By the time he was through with his altercation with the woman, the disciples came back and told him that the food is now here. Somebody that they left hungry, when they appeared, he could no more eat. And they said, what's wrong? Somebody so hungry before, but body knocked off that hunger. That's when I found out. When you have sufficient hunger, you cannot struggle to fast, because both of them are counter. You can't be so hungry for God and be hungry for food at the same time. I'm not saying you should not eat. Sometimes the hunger for God will be so much you don't feel like eating. It is not because you are fasting. Is it not true? Some of you have tested it a little. You didn't plan to fast, but you woke up one day and feel like grabbing God and monopolizing him inside the room. And suddenly a journey of fasting started. The fasting was not an attempt to just be anointed. It is something struck your heart. An eternity wooed by the hunger. I now knew how the Holy Ghost drove Jesus. The disciples searched him. When they looked at him, he said, now we know. Somebody bought food for him. Somebody bought food for him. So that's why he is no more interested in eating. Jesus looked at them and found out what they were saying in their heart. He now cried, my meat. My meat. Ooh. My meat is not earthly. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish it. And I knew how the Holy Ghost drove him. The Holy Ghost did not drive him by burdens. He did not drive him by force. He drove him by burdens. He did not drive him by brute force. He drove him with hunger. He showed him the depravity of humanity and he was willing to die for it. There is something you need to see. Something. There is a picture. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you with me? You need to see something. You need to see your shape in the eternal realm as it's captured in the stones that is in the construction site. You need to see the beauty of the glory that is captured for you in eternity and see the distance. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, you will see the impact of 3 years' journey in the eternal shape that God has kept for you. You will know you are late. You are not moving at the right pace. And I tell you that it is not the passage of time that caters for the fact that a man comes into his glory state in the spirit, in the eternity. There is some things that God needs to fuse in your heart. Infusions of hunger, impartations of divine wooings. That's the only thing that can keep you on a table studying your Bible for 8 hours. Discipline is not enough. I remember some of those days I was in school, my final year. Suddenly I entered into a depth of hunger that almost made me, it was mad hunger. I study my Bible to the point that it will become so sweet, I will climb the table and be studying it. You know the way children climb table? It's after me, hunger.
Hunger!
Listen, you will fail the... Are you with me? I praise you for doing well in the calling and the ministry that God has given to you. But you will fail a test that is about to come. Many people will fail that test. That's what God said that you say. You know why? There is no hunger. There is anointing. There is anointing. There is drive to do ministry well. For some very good ones, there is even training, but there is no hunger. You will end up like Saul. God will give you 7 days and come on the eighth. Because, are you getting what I'm saying? The man that based on the anointing and the training, he will push himself to the demand, which is 7 days. Should I tell you? God can demand seven and come on the eighth. And the only thing that can keep a man beyond seven, is no more the demand of ministry. It is his hunger and desire for God. Some of us, God will not come on day seven. Should I tell you? It's not some of us, many of us. He will withhold himself. Then on the seventh day, you will curse God and miss your season. I'm telling you, a time is coming. A time is coming. Men will be sorted, sieved, shaken. Sorted out based on the measure of hunger. Cry for hunger. I have seen a day. I see a day. It's coming. It's coming. Many will be on the rat race. Even people that is in ministry. No hunger. They have forgotten why they are there. It will look as if you looked at the body and there are political leanings, alliances, postures and positions that people took. That was not the original agenda of God. It is hunger that God wants to give you. How did you leave the pursuit of God and still pursue what doesn't matter? They told Saul how many days? How many days did Saul stay? But God did not come on the seventh day. But if Saul had sufficient hunger, are you getting what I'm saying? Even if God did not come on the seventh day, you say, Lord, I don't know why you didn't come when you said. But I will keep pursuing you. I will not stop. What you promise you will do for me is not the reason why I started. Thank you for what you said you will do. I know you will not fail. I know you will do it. But what drove me in the first instance is because I had an encounter. And that encounter was strong enough to make me to vow my life to you. I will serve you all my days. Whether I see you in the flesh or not, I know that there is a glory that will be revealed. Such men can pass through any adversity. Their driving force is beyond earth. Satan cannot tamper with their journey. Because what is driving them is beyond the riches of humanity. It's beyond mundanity. It's beyond what can be derived from it. You need to pray. Say after me, Lord, bless me with hunger and body. Pray for 2 minutes. Pray for 2 minutes. Oh, Jesus. Release your usness. Release your usness. Will you show us this? Go back this night, press out this mat. Tomorrow we continue by 4 p.m. The Lord bless you, Jesus.
We believe God's word came to you in accuracy and power. To connect to the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edu Udejiku, send us a message on WhatsApp via the number +234 813 007 4040 or email at revivalhopglobal@gmail.com. To access transforming messages and partner with us, visit our website at www.revivalhubinternational.org. Follow us on all our social media platforms at Revival Hub International and on YouTube at Apostle Edu Udejiku. God bless you.